Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. Let's get to it. The pineal gland. Pineal gland. You know the word melatonin. Sure you do. Everybody's tried it for that deeper sleep. If you're an insomniac, surely you've tried it. Speaking of which, you guys out there that can't sleep, 9 times out of 10, so let's do the straight talk thing. 9 times out of 10, when you can't sleep, when you suffer from chronic insomnia, the answer, as always, 9 times out of 10, no, it's not melatonin. No, it's not L-tryptophan. No, it's not valerian. No, it's not kava-kava. No, it's not 5-HTP. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. Yes, it is. Get healthy. Health is the threshold across which you start to relax behind who you are, what you are, why you are, and where you are. And even if you're sick and you can't sleep, when you start to relax behind that, guess what? You start to sleep. This isn't a show about sleep, but surely, if you know the word melatonin, you know the word pineal gland. Today's show is about a deeper level of understanding, the real pineal gland. Yeah, the one that produces the melatonin, but this show is about the pineal underneath the pineal, the pineal that they didn't tell you about in school. As always, get to the website, straighttalk.cc. If you're driving, I'll do the best I can. If you haven't purchased the archives to get access to the pictures, please do. That's straighttalk.cc. Look at the pictures I have for you today. The pineal gland. I want you to know where it is. Where it is. If you put your finger on your forehead, right between your eyebrows, and go back about 3 inches or so, you'll be in the region of the hypothalamus, the pituitary, and the pineal. I want you to get an appreciation of that relationship. So look at picture number 5. Look at that beautiful picture. Number 5, if you're driving, just picture somebody cutting your head in half, and they're looking in at the profile view. Half of your brain has been peeled open, and they're looking into the other half. If you're on the website, straighttalk.cc, picture number 5, that's what you're looking at, a sagittal cut of the brain. In the yellow, the pituitary, the hypothalamus, and in the purple, the pineal gland. There it is. Now, that's deep inside you. Descartes, French philosopher, mathematician, called it the seat of the soul. Oh, well, you know those guys 300-400 years ago. What did they know? He called it the seat of the soul. Oh, that's just poetry. That's the way they talked back then. In the Old Testament, they didn't even know how to count. Moses lived to be 900 years. Who knows what that means? It might have meant 90 years. They just didn't know how to multiply back then. They were stupid. They were still in some earlier phase of development. No, no, no. And you get my point. Descartes had a clue that this gland had something to do with the soul. That's why he said it. But what does he know? We don't like the French characteristically in America. Isn't that the cliche? For some it is. Henny had long hair like a hippie. Take a look at that. A name celebrated over the centuries. An obvious man of genius. Here's something that'll really perk you up. Look at picture number 7. The third eye. Look at that. That's an Egyptian enneagram. That's off a temple in Egypt. long before Rene Descartes lived. And we think it means something. Well, the Egyptian Enneagram is the Eye of Horus. Horus is an Egyptian god. We don't need to get into that. But its resemblance to what I showed you in picture number 5, its resemblance is spooky. Look at that. That relationship with people who knew nothing, supposedly, of science, who knew nothing, supposedly, of what we would call the scientific revolution, who lived and ruled a long, 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 long time ago. That some say this Enneagram went up a good 12,000 years ago. That's a debate within archaeology itself. Some say the Sphinx. See The Mystery of the Sphinx, 1986, John Anthony West. See that. It won an Emmy. We'll use Hollywood here, because that's where we all get our truth, right? From Hollywood. In 1986, they gave the Emmy to Mystery of the Sphinx. Scholars, men of high intelligence, pointing out that the Sphinx could not possibly have been erected 4,000 B.C. There was water erosion that could have only come from monsoon-like rains, drenching torrents of monsoon-like rain that indicate the Sphinx may have gone back a good 12,000 years. Don't want to go into it. Just want to throw it out there for those of you who are extra inquisitive. But nonetheless, what is this doing? Whenever it was inscribed into granite, what is it doing? It mirrors the relationship between the hypothalamus, the pituitary, and the pineal. Pineal, the cone, the great cone. Oh, wait, you need a view of it, a better view. Let's give you a better view of the pineal gland. Go all the way down. My tech did not number these pictures today. I'm very sorry about that. The fourth one from the end. The fourth picture from the last picture. We're going to have to do it that way, guys. The fourth picture from the last picture. Take a look at that picture. What is that? That is your brain. It's called the midbrain. Midbrain. Down on the bottom of that picture where it streamlines, that's the beginning of your spinal cord. So if you go to the top of your neck and deep inside where the spinal cord lives, go up about 2, 3, 4 inches, up and towards your nose. And this picture's there. Now take a look at that picture and take a look. We're going to come back to this picture later. Take a look at that picture. And on the left-hand side up top, the third word down, pineal gland. Derived from Latin, derived from Greek, derived from Egyptian, derived from who knows what before that. Mankind, over thousands and thousands of years, take it any way you want. From biblical times, and if you believe the earth is no older than 6,000, 7,000 years old, so be it. If you believe, as many, that the earth goes back far, far, far further than that, then so be it. No matter which way you cut it, mankind, priests, kings, poets, have looked at that picture and been filled with some sort of mystical awe. Now, no one can deny that. And if it doesn't fill your husband or your wife or your friends, they just might have a lower consciousness. Yes, I'm going to use the word lower. We are in a state of evolution. And just assuredly, as there's something about holistic medicine that draws you, that does not draw your neighbor, that does not draw your husband, that does not draw your wife, your cousins, your friends, just assuredly as you're the outsider, just assuredly that you function in the world, that you have your successes, your expertises, just as sure as you can multitask perhaps faster than them, just as sure as there's something about that picture that drew Descartes to it, that drew the Egyptians to it, that may have drawn our own Vatican to it, the Pope. The pineal gland has always been looked upon as a cone, pineal, as a cone-shaped, what some say, what some in evolutionary biology say is a vestigial organ. It's a photoreceptor. It talks to light, light that comes through the pupil, light that doesn't come through the pupil after you've had your lenses cut and plastic ones put in. Jot that one down the next time you think of a cataract and the surgery. Light that comes through the pupil. Light that may not come through the pupil as you wear your contact lenses. Light that might not come through the pupil as correctly if, in fact, you've had that eye corrective surgery. You know that easy one that Dr. Musa does? As many other ophthalmologists, they advertise this surgery to change the tension on the lens. Okay, not knocking it. Not knocking Dr. Musa. But you have to think about that. You have to think about that Descartes may have been correct. That gland may be the seat to the soul. I'm going to present an argument today, a powerful argument, an argument with a lot of science behind it. And then it's just common sense. 50 years from now, we won't be having these arguments. I won't be talking about these topics because these topics will be old school. They'll be, hat, would I do a show? Would you listen to a show telling you, like it's news, that cigarettes are bad for your health? Would you do that? I could have done this show in 1960. That would have been news. Needless, senseless hysterectomies. I could have done this show in 1890. Only I would have done it the Market Square, telling women not to have their clitorises cut. Yes, clitorectomies. Physician in Sexuality in Victorian America, J. Holler and Holler, a work of scholarship. I could have done that show at the Market Square on the East Coast in the 1870s. We wouldn't do that now, would we? That's old hat. Cigarettes cause cancer. That's old hat. Women don't need hysterectomies 90% of the time they get them. That's old hat. I could have launched a campaign in the 1890s saying that women could play basketball and that their uteruses and vaginas wouldn't prolapse out their orifices. But that's what they were telling you in 1895 when Dr. Naismith invented basketball. The young ladies at Radcliffe, future Columbia, were told don't at Wesleyan. We're told don't play basketball, don't move. By golly, when Jack LaLanne was a little boy, he was told if you lift weights, you'll lose your mind. We have committed a string of stupidities, a string of atrocities, a string of idiocies in the name of higher wisdom from the beginning of time. But not you. How did that correlate on your last IQ test? When was the last time under the weight of conventional perspective, did you stand tall? Did you feel esteemed while the birds picked your liver apart? When did you relax behind that view of yours that went deeper? If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. I'm here to get you to stand behind yourself. That's what Rene Descartes was about. That's what the Vatican, well, take a look at this picture at the Vatican, picture number 8. Just a simple little artistic thing. It doesn't mean a thing. Now take a look at that picture. Remember in the Da Vinci Code? Remember in Tom Hanks and Angels and Demons? What is Robert Langdon? What is Robert Langdon? Okay, you got it. 3 bottles of Rishi. I want you to get on the comment line. Do not call. Sorry. Get on the website and get to the comment section. Comment. Answer this question for me. In the Da Vinci Code, in Angels and Demons, what is Robert Langdon, the main character, played by Tom Hanks? 2 wonderful, wonderful films. Dan Brown's book. The Da Vinci Code, Dan Brown's book, Angels and Demons, probably the biggest bestseller in the last 10 to 20 years, or one of them. Who was Robert Langdon? He was a professor at Harvard. What was his job? I'm not going to tell you. I'll tell you this. Robert Langdon would not have passed an opinion about the Vatican holding that figure there. A cone. Just a simple pine cone. Well, check out picture number three. Hopefully my tech is listening to the show and I'll get these pages numbered. Picture number three. You have to go across the page, first row, across the page, second row, across the page, third row. There's four pictures to a row. This isn't too difficult. Picture number three. Pine cone. What is that? Oh, that's that occult stuff. I'm not looking at that. Let's forget that. Let's put all the occult stuff to the side now. It's 2014. Down here in Orange County, we got a lot of people from a lot of places, and they're not stupid, and they're all happy to be in America. Take a look at that picture. What is that? That's an Egyptian symbol. What does that mean? Well, ask Descartes. Maybe you ought to ask the Vatican. Picture number six. There is a little figurine there, little picture. The sun coming through the eye, the pupil of the eye. Not if you have contact lenses. Not if you've had corrective lenses, plastic lenses put in. That pupil is nerve fiber. The eye is basically the brain exposed, literally, the brain. It is nerve tissue exposed to the outside. The eyes are the windows to the soul. What a concept! Oh, but that's that Shakespearean stuff. Who reads Shakespeare? I mean, personally, I found Shakespeare boring. I tried Shakespeare 50 times. I had a crush on my college professor, Rose Zimbardo. She was lovely. I wanted to learn Shakespeare. I just couldn't. It was boring to me. Call me what you want. But isn't it from Shakespearean verse? The eyes are the windows to the soul. Think about that. Think about the light in the morning coming through the air into your eye as you stare at the rising sun. No, not at the midday sun, the rising sun, as you drink the sunlight. Why do the Vedics do that? Why do the Taoists do that in the course of spiritual exercise? Why? You train your eye at sunrise to take 5 minutes in. Don't do this. This isn't to tell one of you listening to the show to try that. You need to understand what you're doing. But why would people be trained to do that? To stare at the sun as it rises on the horizon, 6, 7 a.m., and take in the solar rays through the pupil of the eye to fill the brain and what with something so that it will become magnetic. Picture number four. Go to picture number four. Look at that. Picture number four. That's gorgeous. Inside the brain, something lights up. Something becomes luminous. Something becomes phosphorescent. Do you think if it became phosphorescent enough, it could become a glow around a head? Could it be that that's what the halo is? Could it be that men and women of spiritual sanctity that have been through purification processes that really know God might light up their whole head, and that that's what the depictions from the Middle Ages were trying to tell us? When was the last time you saw somebody with a halo around their head? I ask you that. Now, I know lots of people are going to say yes. To those of you who think the question's preposterous, I'm already going to agree with you ahead of time. Most of those people that think they can see halos around people's heads are nuts. Certainly your medical doctor thinks this is nuts. Look at the implications here. The implication is that there's a physical tissue in the body, and that if it's treated correctly, if it can drink the sunlight correctly, if you can be trained through relentless discipline and faith, something inside your head will light up. If you can pass the test, perhaps the test in the desert, perhaps you have to fast 40 days, perhaps you have to meet the devil, perhaps you have to meet the devil and send the devil back to hell. And of course, when I say devil, you think of the boogeyman. You think of that obvious choice. That obvious choice of evil that you, the pinnacle of virtue, will refuse. So you don't know the devil then. I'm talking about what you take as commonplace. What you think is conventional, social, intelligent behavior. Like cutting out a woman's clitorectomy at the turn of the century. Like putting fluoride in water. Things like this. But if you could pass these tests, whatever those tests might be, perhaps you would have a halo. Perhaps that's why the photoluminescent quality of the pineal gland could produce a beam of light around the head, that you could generate light out your head. This, of course, is preposterous. This has nothing to do with health. This is a talk show, a talk radio show hosted by K-Bright, Christian Radio. Well, perhaps we need to take a look at the way we think. Perhaps we have to come to terms with the fact that something about the way we're thinking, at least as it relates to health, and probably as it relates to a lot of things. Perhaps there's something we're not seeing. And perhaps they didn't attach that to an IQ test yet. Perhaps inside yourself you know this to be true, but you just can't find the words. Certainly you haven't found the choices. Certainly you're too busy. Perhaps you're still focused on what herbs should you take. And I'm sure if I opened the show up to callers, someone would call in and say, "Doctor, what herb can I take for my pineal gland?" And then I would faint. I would probably hit the floor. I don't think I'd die, but I might pass out. If you feel like you're on the outside of it all, perhaps you're really looking in. Perhaps you're an outsider. If you're an outsider and you can understand this, you have an obligation to yourself. It's called work harder. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop telling yourself that your future's bleak, and work. Work if you're happy, work if you're sad, work if you're angry, work if you're optimistic and joyful. Forget about your cheap emotions. Work. And when you're sick of work, work harder. And if you pass out and die, trust you'll be reborn, and then get up and work even harder than that. Because God put a pineal gland in your head. Of course, this is all poetry. So let's get to the science. What do you say? But take a look at this. Take a look. Take a look at the Vatican. Take a look at the Egyptians. Take a look at Descartes. Take a look at the back of a dollar bill, which counting down should be page 4, page 8, page 12, 16, 17, 18. Page 18, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rows down. Picture number 18. Look at that, the back of a dollar bill. Novus Ordo Seclorum. Don't you love Latin? You know, back in the old days, to be a doctor, you had to learn Latin and German. Latin. You couldn't understand the meaning of the word unless you understood Latin. Well, what was before Latin? Before Latin, it was Greek. What was before Greek? It was Egyptian. Arabic, Aramaic. What was before Aramaic? What was before Egyptian? Everything was a code. It was a symbol. The pineal gland is a symbol. It's science, its significance from this low-level, unconscious, clone-like view of it as a vestigial organ. We didn't even know it produced melatonin, nor what melatonin was until 1958. In 1958, we got hip to the pineal. We hear these things from time to time. We hear these things from time to time in science. Oh, you know, your brain, your DNA, 99% of your DNA is junk. It's junk. We only use a few percent of our brain. A lot of times we're told these little stories about the body. If we unraveled all the DNA in the cell, it would wrap around the world 90 million times. Or you could string all the DNA of all your cells in your body all the way to the sun and back 10 times. I mean, these ridiculously unfathomable statements, like a flea. A flea accelerates 40,000 times the acceleration power of a rocket ship. That's the acceleration of a flea when a flea jumps. Look at picture 18. The back of a dollar bill. The all-seeing eye. Why is that there? It's on a pyramid. What are we putting a pyramid on the back of a dollar bill for? For what reason? Oh, it looks nice. It's pretty. Hey, frankly, it's weird. Do you want your little son or daughter looking at that? That's freaky deaky. An eye on top of a pyramid? 911? The World Trade Center? The Middle East? And America, on the back of America, puts a pyramid and then an eye on it. You got to start thinking. You have to start thinking. Picture 4, 8, 12. Picture number 13. Picture number 13. Two pictures before Descartes. The pineal gland. Is it the seat of the soul? Is the pineal gland the seat of the soul? Okay, enough. Enough of all of this. Enough of all of this. We're not going to talk about all this poetry anymore. It's all nonsense. Crazy people talk like this. You're not crazy. You deserve better. Perhaps your husband is listening to this show. My God. The sacrilege of it. This is all Venice Beach nonsense. So let's forget it. Let's do something better than that. Let's consider the pineal gland. Let's consider the functions, the known functions of the pineal gland. The pineal gland secretes melatonin, N-acetyl-5-methoxytryptamine. It's a derivative of the amino acid tryptophan. You like that. Write that down. It's important. Melatonin has been shown to inhibit the growth and metastasis of some tumors. It's been shown to have a stimulatory effect on the immune system. Now, here's an interesting one. If melatonin is inhibited for whatever reason, it stops puberty. So you're 16 years old, and for whatever reason, if your pineal gland that produces melatonin, and it may be a few other things that may or may not happen, if your pineal gland produces melatonin, too much melatonin, I'm sorry. If your pineal gland doesn't produce melatonin, you don't have puberty. Now, if you have a pineal tumor, yes, you can have a tumor in the pineal gland. The melanocytes, those that produce melatonin, may become anaplastic and you have a pineal tumor. Usually they're benign, they're not malignant, but it means something happens to the pineal gland. And if that happens, if the pineal gland gets overactive, Then you're 7 years old and you have breasts and pubic hair. We know that for a fact. We know that the pineal gland can calcify. That's what we know. We know it produces melatonin. We know that at night you produce melatonin and you feel sleepy. We know in the day the nervous system stops you from producing melatonin and you feel happy. We know that if you live in the dark, like they do way up in Scandinavia and everywhere else, you know, Aurora Borealis and all those fine places where the sky is green and it's 1 o'clock in the morning and you think it's sunrise, or it's 9 o'clock in the morning and you think it's dark, where really you don't know left from right, something screwy happens to the pineal gland. We know that. We know that if your levels of melatonin are very low, you don't feel like sleeping. We know that if they're very high, you may not wake up. That's what we know. No one can argue that, and that's the end of the show. Well, that's what they taught us in medical school. Why should there be more to know? Ah, that's why you listen to this show. I want you to make this insight functional in your life. And how do you make it functional? By getting the facts that nobody else will tell you? I don't think so. If you have to get the facts that nobody else will tell you from this show, please listen to another show. What you can get from this show that nobody's going to tell you is what to do with the information. And what you're going to get from this show that nobody else is going to tell you or persuade you to do is think for yourself. Look at the symbolism. Now, let's get into the real science. Let's get into the real science. All right, piece of science number one. Look at the first article. Go up to the link that says click to read. Piezoelectric. I might have to do part two. I'm taking my time. I may have to do part two. We'll see. You can comment on that too. And check Facebook. My wonderful staff here is hitting all this, throwing it on Facebook. It's a new era. Too many people from too many places listen. So we got to hit Facebook. Take a look at that first article, piezoelectricity in the human pineal gland. There are crystals, calcite crystals. There are crystals in the soft tissue of that little nipper, of that little pine cone. There are granules there. Those granules are piezoelectric. What does that mean? It means that as that pineal gland gets rattled, as it moves, as it dances faster, as its frequency changes, it hits a certain point and it becomes an electrical generator. It takes the light through the pupil, in through the brain, to itself and generates electricity off the sun. End of show. That's what piezoelectric means. Now, no one argues that.
We just sit there and look at it. Yeah, it's piezoelectric. That's good, Fred.
We just give it to our research scientists to publish, and then it collects dust.
Studies haven't shown yet that the pineal gland has any function other than producing melatonin.
All that rot about DMT, we'll get to DMT, is still not part of science, nor is it part of functional science, nor does it mean anything. So we'll just throw something that looks like the pineal on the back of a dollar bill 300 or 400 years ago. We'll just throw it on the side of a sphinx or a temple anywhere from 4 to 12 to 20 to 40,000 years ago, but we'll forget about it. Modern science. Where would we be without them? There it is. You're looking at it. It's a publication. Why don't you take it and hammer it on the forehead of your medical doctor next time? And when they tell you it's okay to fluoride the water, to put fluorine in the water, which we have proven in science concentrates in the pineal gland more than bones and teeth, the single most receptive cell in the body are the soft tissue cells of the pineal gland to fluorine. And Descartes floating around somewhere in the heavens, calling it the window to the soul. And we stuff it with fluorine and call that the Board of Health. Think about it. Think about that. Think about that when you go to the bank. Think about that when you do your paperwork. Think about that when you talk to your insurance company. Think about that when you're online at the movie theater. Think about those things. Think about the fact that you don't learn this in college. You don't learn it in high school. You don't learn it in grammar school. You don't discuss it over Thanksgiving dinner. You give thanks for turkey and for all the good things that you have brought. And perhaps that's a good idea. But don't you think this should at least find its way into the daily vernacular? Don't you think this is cool? Don't you think that science discovering, our trusted science, that Kaiser Permanente upholds through the Hippocratic Oath, says the pineal gland is piezoelectric. Think about that the next time you put on a pair of contact lenses or go outside all day long with sunglasses or skip your little walk in the morning sun. It's piezoelectric. It's there to produce. If it wobbles fast enough between the superior colliculuses, look at the last picture, through the superior colliculuses of the brain, the pineal gland will generate a frequency that'll take these calcite crystals and in its piezoelectric sense, its piezoelectric means it is designed to produce electricity through vibration. Why would it do that? I'll tell you why. Because if that happens, something happens to you, and it's good. It's real good. It's what you came here to find out that you could possibly produce within yourself. It answers a lot of your questions. Not that the road isn't tricky. The road is tricky. Look at picture number 9. Okay, now my tech has numbered the pictures. Thank you, Kerry, if you're listening. Thank you. Picture number 9. Fully activate your pineal gland in 14 days or less from the comfort of your own home and experience the magic of everlasting inner bliss, guaranteed to work. And I've got a supplement here for you, 2 for $99 if you buy it over the next 15 minutes. Pineal Activation Complex. You see? You see the mess? I hope you're laughing. Maybe you're crying. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about. 9.9 out of every piece of media is to tell you to drop a supplement that makes it all good. How's that different than pharmaceutical medicine? Is that any different? And then some bozo is going to make some scientific machine that puts out vibrations that hit your brain, and you're going to fully activate your pineal gland in 14 days or less. Why do we have Christian saints? What was Jesus and the crucifixion about? Why have men and women suffered to be reborn over thousands and thousands of years, whether it's 7,000 years or 50,000 years or yesterday? So some bozo can make a machine that activates your pineal gland in 14 days or less. This is why your medical doctors, now let's give them some credit here. This is why they don't want to hear this stuff. Because we have two factions. We have people with bags over their head that we call MDs, and we have people with bags over your head on the Venice boardwalk. And both extremes are not getting the point. There is a place for science. Science, yeah, the science your MDs think they learned. The science your scientists think they learned that should become functional. And to make it functional, you always have to push the limit. You have to go to the edge of science. I have news for you. I don't have a formal high degree in science yet. But I can guarantee you this, that science, no matter what science you talk about, they're always on the edge. They just don't tell you that. 2 scientists, 3 scientists, 10 scientists, 12 scientists can look at the same molecule and see 20 different things. By the time they decide to agree and publish, they've usually eliminated 2 to 3 other opinions. And by the time science gets its act together so everybody agrees enough to get it published, it's already been in the common sense of milkmaids for 1,000 years, a.k.a. cigarettes cause cancer. Do you get it now? If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. 714-850-1007. If you are confused with your own health crises and want the right track, give us a call. 714-850-1007. Take your skepticism and put it away. Come in ready to work. If you're not ready to work, don't call. I don't sell magic bullets. I give you a perspective so you can get yourself healthy, utilizing your own body's mechanisms, because they're there. And what you're missing is knowledge. This isn't snake oil. It's knowledge. Knowledge translates. Functional knowledge. Not nonsense knowledge. 714-850-1007. If for whatever reason you can't do that, if you're from out of town, out of state, out of America, out of the world, get on the website. Cyberspace hits all the galaxies. Get on the website. Take a look at the archives. Purchase the archives. $24.95 for 150 shows. Don't tell me you can't afford it. Please. Insult somebody else's intelligence. Just tell me you don't think it's worth it. Then I'll tell you you're crazy. 150 shows. This show alone. If you just listen and look, I didn't make this up and I didn't invent it. I'm just passing it on to you. Take a look. The pineal gland calcifies. It's got calcite crystals in it. It should, or it can never activate. But also, look at the article on the top there. Click to read, hydroxyapatite. Look at that article. Degree of pineal calcification. We like to use abbreviations. DOC, degree of calcification, is associated with polysomnographic sleep measures in primary insomnia patients. There's a study I would have passed on. Thank you. I'm glad you guys did it. I have other things to do. I think I have better things to do, but I'm not knocking it, and thank you for the article. Look at that. It says, are you out there? Are you listening? I've got at least 30 patients that are listening who don't sleep, and you can't figure out. I'll guarantee you at least half of you. If we go in there and look at that pineal gland in its shell, it's calcified to a crisp. Calcification of the pineal gland. Does that sound like calcification in the thyroid? Does that sound like calcification in the breast? Does that sound like calcification in the kidney? Calcium oxalate stones, calcium phosphate stones? Does that sound like a constitution that precipitates calcium? Does that sound like a uric acid diathesis in iridology? Does that sound like uric acid crystals we call gout? Do you think that someone that precipitates prematurely, whose constitution might be predisposed towards that, who's not predisposed towards that but does it anyway because they eat too much Taco Bell, do you think that maybe the pineal gland might calcify? Do you think that on top of that, people that have been innocent, naive, or dumb enough, or ignorant enough, or arrogant enough, or unfortunate enough to drink fluorinated water, do you think that there's fluorine put in, as science shows, at many, 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 many times the concentration of any other place in the body, including teeth and bone, have sucked up enough fluorine, a known carcinogen fluorine, a bad carcinogen fluorine, an electrophilic animal, a free radical snake in the woods fluorine, along with the calcium hydroxyapatite, have calcified your pineal into one great big rock. And so it doesn't vibrate, and so you can't sleep. Do you think that might be a possibility? Yeah, the shows are going to get better. They are getting better. You noticed. Thank you. How about a little commentary on it? How about you pass it around? You give me more, I give you more. There's no end to this guy on radio, I guarantee you. This is third year. I haven't even started. I haven't even started. This is show one, as far as I'm concerned. The other 150 shows are just the prerequisites. I'm all wrong. I ought to go to Venice Beach and play the banjo or the harmonica. Oh, that guy, he's crazy. He's crazy. Up there on the witness stand. Doctor, some think you're crazy. What's this article doing? What is this article doing here? The degree of calcification, the whole point of the article, if you read it, is the more calcified your pineal gland gets, the more you lose your ability to sleep. That's the whole point of the article. Calcification. I don't care what you do for a living. Take a look at picture number 36. Picture number 36. Look at how that pineal gland just wags its tail in between those great big breasts of the superior colliculus. They look like breasts. Brain tissue soft like breast. The brain wobbles like the breasts wobble. The cranial rhythms push the brain. The brain pushes it back on the cranial rhythms. The skull is soft. We didn't even get that one straight in 1900. In 1900, the British, because they're a little bit tighter than the Italians, had a fight in anatomy. Big fight. Not boxing gloves, believe me. They had a fight. The argument was the English said the bones of the skull at the sutures were immobile, that the brain, the bones of the brain, the cranial bones, did not flex. The Italians said they did. Perhaps there were more Italians who could feel that than there were English at the time. This was 1900. Everybody was conservative. But here's the point. If the cranial rhythms are patent, coherent, the pineal gland wobbles. It wobbles and beats off the side of the two colliculuses. You want that to happen. You want that to happen because those calcite crystals, the good calcium in the soft tissue, there's two types of calcium in different matrices. I'm not sure if it's the same or different calcium, but it's in a different matrix, definitely. And the one in the soft tissue, if that pineal wobbles, if it beats against, you got to be looking at picture number 36. If you're not, when you go home, do it. And that generates the light. Now take a look at that and ask yourself if something's not going on here. Next. Next. There is a next. And we have enough time to hit the next. It's called DMT. Go to the top and look at the article, DMT. Good old DMT, dimethyltryptamine. We said, back in the 80s, we said, there's a guy, Dr. Rick Strassman, look up the name on pineal. He was saying way back that the pineal gland produces dimethyltryptamine. We couldn't prove it. We couldn't prove it in the 80s. We couldn't prove it in the 90s. We couldn't prove it in the early 2000s. In 2013, we proved it. In 2013, we proved it. Look at the abstract. So go to the top and click on that big article. Not in the pictures because it's too small. You can't see it. The big article off the links. DMT, dimethyltryptamine. Look at that abstract. The abstract is right below the big words, right above that blue line. It says abstract. And go to the last sentence in that paragraph. It says, we report here for the first time the presence of NN dimethyltryptamine in pineal gland obtained from the rat. Well, rats are not people. Okay? I'd argue that from day to day, but typically rats are not people. So let's just throw this article away because we haven't proven it in people yet. I don't think so, Jack. I think rats who are not people, I think that there's a small leap to what we already know in our guts to be true, that the pineal gland produces DMT. DMT is very similar. Dimethyltryptamine is very similar to serotonin, which we know is in the pineal gland, and it's very similar to melatonin, which we know the pineal gland secretes. DMT, dimethyltryptamine, serotonin, and melatonin. They're three sisters. They're in bed together. One's like the other. They're all derivatives, more or less. But DMT, guess when you have a big burst of DMT? Before you die. Before you die. And all the people that almost die and come back, we know that in that moment where they claim they met God, we know that in that moment where they say they saw their whole life, we know that when they come back out of that, they're different. They're changed. They're illuminated. Their life is different. They're reborn. They have a real understanding of spirituality. Go find someone in your church that died and came back, and I guarantee you they will corroborate my claim here. Guess what we know? We know that they produce, in these moments, a ton of DMT. But we haven't quite got that into the hard science yet. We're almost there. We're working on it. At least we got the thing about cigarettes right. You get my point. We know the pineal gland was once called a vestigial organ. We know the pineal gland sucks in the sun, hits the hypothalamus pituitary. We know the pineal controls biorhythms. We know it's an immune system organ. We know lots of neat things about it. We know that it's on the back of a dollar bill. We know that it's on the Eye of Horus, or is the Eye of Horus, or it's associated to the Eye of Horus. We know that Frenchman there, René Descartes, whose name has lived on as a symbol of intellectual intelligence, democracy, all the things we pride in the American Constitution, had some strong opinion about the pineal gland. And we know your local doctor at Kaiser Permanente has no understanding of anything I'm saying. Take a look at this. We've just isolated it in rats in the year 2013. This guy, Rick Strassman, has been waiting. Then there's Kelly Posner. Do you know why a bird knows where it's flying? Because of its pineal gland. The pineal gland is sensitive to magnetic fields. Look up the name Kelly Posner, P-O-S-N-E-R, Dr. Kelly Posner. I'll quote Dr. Kelly Posner, the most plausible explanation for the association between geomagnetic activity and depression and suicide is that geomagnetic storms can desynchronize circadian rhythms and melatonin production, says Kelly Posner, a psychiatrist at Columbia University in the United States. The pineal gland, which regulates circadian rhythms and melatonin production, is sensitive to magnetic fields. The circadian regulatory system depends upon repeated environmental cues to synchronize internal clocks, says Posner. Magnetic fields may be one of these environmental cues. What more do you need? It is an electromagnetic antenna stimulated by light that gives us intelligences far beyond what we're measuring in IQ. That is why it is the seat to the soul. That is why it's on the back of a dollar bill. That is why it's the Eye of Horus. That is why Descartes had a love affair with it. I don't know about you, but that pine cone at the Vatican looks very appetizing to me. Curious, at least. Okay, what does this have to do with health, your health? Well, listen to the last show, the free show, the one I'm putting on, the one about why I do this show, one about the School of Athens, the one about Raphael, the one about Plato and Aristotle and Epicurus and the whole slew of these people, the one about Hypatia, the one about the library at Alexandria. Think about the show that's always trying to tell you you're missing the boat if you don't get it. The show that's telling you to take a firm stance, an intelligent stance, an objective stance, that tells you you should think for yourself. Start looking at things from different perspectives. And once you do that, you can come down to picture number 22. There's a skull broken apart into all its bones. Look at picture number 23, the bones of the skull broken apart into all their bones. Look at picture number 24. That's the sphenoid bone. In that sits the pituitary gland. That bone should be floating. In just a few millimeters behind it is the pineal gland. Guess what? Guess what? Look at picture number 25. Isn't this fun? This is unbelievable fun. If you're new to the show, Dr. Vincent Medici, 714-850-1007. If this show gets you in your soul, give us a call if you need a consult. If you're lost with your symptom or your complex set of problems and you want to learn how to stimulate your own body to take care of the problem, I do nothing. I just facilitate, transduce. I'm piezoelectric. Look at that picture, 25, through the back of someone's skull. They took out the occipital bone. That's why there's a hole there. Look at the bottom, number one, on the picture where it says number one. That's the sphenoid bone. Through the back of the skull, if you pull off the occipital bone, clear out the brain, you're sitting right in the sphenoid bone. That sphenoid bone wobbles. And if it wobbles enough, eventually the pineal will wobble. Can you loosen yourself up? Look at picture number 32. Look at picture number 32, A, B, C, D. You're looking at an infant's skull. Look at C. Look at where those lines intersect, where the number, if you can see it, is 19, where that straight line meets the fork in the road. So look at that picture. That is picture number 32. You got it. Lower left-hand side, you're looking at a skull. That's the skull of a baby. The sutures have not fused. Right there, the fork in the road, is lambda, the sign of light. Cleanse, stretch, purge, soften, and open that to the sun, and let the pineal begin to shine while it wobbles. That's where I'm going to leave you. You think about it. Love to hear from you. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. We'll see you next week. Maybe I'll do part two of The Mystery of the Pineal Gland. Ta-ta.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.